I want to just greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. Just an amazing God. And like Merv shared already, and I thought, well, you know, we could probably just go home. And we have heard the message of the amazingness of God. And I appreciated what Merv shared. He was excited to see what would happen. And I was overwhelmed. And of course, I'm probably going to cry a little. I'm still okay up here. But as I think what Lauren mentioned, the happenings of this week of people being in the hospital, the emotions that go with things like that. Even as I recall last Sunday, as we went down to visit Naaman, and then we came back home, and then we went back down again before we got all the way back home. And then this week, I think it was Friday morning, got a text that said that Josie Judy was going to be in surgery. Sometimes things can overwhelm you. You think, God, what next? And I know that that last week Anna's brother passed away, Harley, and I hadn't even known it until I think the day of the funeral. And I know that he was 90 years old or past 90 and ready to die, I think. And yet there's a sadness in losing loved ones. And as Friday I had an opportunity to stop it. I was just delivering some furniture in Goshen. Yeah, just a coincidence that I was in Goshen, and Judy was in surgery, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go over there, and sweaty and all, and pray with Josie, and Dorothy was there, and Rose, and when you're sitting in a waiting room of a surgery, there's a lot of fears. Your emotions do a lot of things when there's an unknown. And I know Norma can testify to that as well. And a lot of us can. There's an unknown. And I know that a year ago, Abe went through surgery in Indianapolis. We could just give up, right? But we're not gonna. Because we have an awesome God. We have an amazing God that knows our problems, however big they are, however small they are. There are people that are dealing with spiritual issues this morning here. And they are great as well. If you think about the things that have an eternal bearing on us, if we choose rightly, and even as I thought of that last song, day by day, and with each passing moment, life is so full of changes, isn't it? And I think in some ways, the older we get, the harder we deal with changes. I don't know, is that true, Alma? We like comfort, don't we? We like to be comfortable. But I don't think that necessarily is God's design for us to just be comfortable. He wants to comfort us in our troubles that we go through. But I think we, as was mentioned, we find growth in the valleys, don't we? We are sometimes almost forced, as it were, to have our minds directed to God, because the situations are beyond our control. We cannot change cancer. We cannot change strokes, blood clots. We cannot change those things. But God can. And not only that, God is with us. And this morning I've entitled my message, Dependence on God. And as I was thinking about something to share last weekend, and I know we came through Independence Day. And we celebrate Independence Day pretty good, don't we? With fireworks and air shows and shockwave and I don't know what all, but men like bangs, right? Men like to have things blow up and sparks fly and whatever. But as you think of independence versus dependence, in the Christian life, independence is a negative, isn't it? Independence from sin is awesome. Freedom from sin is awesome. But dependence on God is something that we can never let go of. It has to be a daily thing. And there are days, I think all of us can testify, that there are days when we do pretty good with that. We depend on God. And I thought of the song that says, "It's not hard to believe, standing on the mountaintops of glory." But if all this would change, would Jesus still remain? That's the question. Because believing when believing isn't easy. That's the testing. And then it goes on and says, "I need faith for the day when trouble comes my way and the mountaintop is just a memory. When there's no sun to be seen and I don't feel a thing, to the word of God alone I will cling. I need faith for the time when the sun does not shine and troubles seem to come my way." I think I'm messing up the song, but anyway, you get the gist. That's when I need faith. And I don't know about you, but I am blessed by the fact that we have something, an anchor. Will your anchor hold? We have an anchor that keeps the soul. What a message. I mean, we've already had a sermon this morning, but it's like that's our message, depending on God in whatever you're going through. And as I thought of that, there are testimonies that you can share, and I want you to be open to that. If you think of something that you can recall when you know that it is because the anchor of Jesus Christ that sustained you. Testimonies like that. A couple Sundays ago, my good friend Anna I met her in the front entrance. And I said, Anna, isn't it amazing that you are here when there was a time when you were in the hospital? And there's no way I thought that Anna would make it out of the hospital. And she said, yeah, God must have something in store for me. And I thought, you know what? You know what that is? It's the simple fact that you're faithful. That is a huge, huge testimony. And God bless you for that. All of us have purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Christ. But each of us is, how would you say, each of us is an integral part of the other here in the body of Christ. And our dependence on each other, sometimes we are let down. We are let down by each other because we are human. But God never lets us down. We don't always get exactly what we want, but God is with us. This morning for a scripture reading, I've chosen to read from Isaiah 26, and I think I'll read the entire chapter. And just, and as I was preparing for this, I thought, why this chapter? And you may think the same thing, and I want you to think that, because I want you to think of a scripture that you would turn to, a scripture that you can latch on to. But we'll start reading in verse 1, and I think I'll read the entire chapter. And one of the reasons this chapter, especially verse 3. I remember that when I was ordained, someone gave me this verse. And it's been a blessing. And if you think about this verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Verse 1, King James Version. In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation with God, a point for walls and bulwarks. Open ye gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And then verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground, and he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. And the way of the righteous, the just is righteous. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land. Of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see. And I'd just like to look at that. That in the New Living, in verse 11, O Lord, they pay no attention to your upraised fist. It puts a little different light on it. And this is talking about the wicked. And Show them your eagerness to defend your people. Then they shall be ashamed. Let your fire consume your enemies. Verse 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. New Living says this, but you alone are the one we worship. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, it is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind, and we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together. With my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her stain. Talking about end times there as well, and about the day of judgment. But I'd like to focus for us on depending on an awesome God. We have a strong city, he begins. In that day, the Old Testament often says, in that day, and it's often referring to the day of judgment. In that day, and for us as Christians, in that day is a day of redemption. It's a day of completion of our salvation, if you think about it. It's a day that we can look forward to. Yes, it is a day of judgment. But in that day, it says there will be a lot of joyful singing, such as this song that was sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. And I'm not sure how all that song went. But as I think of us, of God keeping us in peace, how do we have peace in the time of trouble? And one of the things that as I was talking with some family in both in Naaman's family and also with Josie and Dorothy, this whole thing of being in the midst of a storm, for lack of a better term, of having our hearts ripped out almost, and yet knowing that there's a peace, there's an underlying peace that God keeps us in. Is there anything greater than that here on this earth? But it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not only does God give us peace, but he puts us in a place of peace. I don't know about you, but that's what I need. I need to be in that place of peace, and God keeps us in that place of peace. And that doesn't mean that everything's always just rosy and we have no problems, we have no issues or whatever, and we have no pain. But there is a peace that we can have in the middle of a storm that the world cannot experience. One of the things that, as I think of dependence on God. The other day, as I was, I think it was last Sunday morning, actually, as we were coming to church, our neighbors have a big workhorse in a little pasture there, right by 13 and 4. And it's a big mare, and laying there in the grass was her colt. And I like horses, so I probably paid attention a little more. But as we went past, this colt was just laying there, just sprawled out. I thought about sprawling out here, but I thought maybe that would be a big, pretty picture. So, but as I went past, the colt just kind of lifted her head a little bit and looked at the mare and said, "Yep, you're still there. Okay." I don't know if it said that or not, but it seemed to say that. But the picture I get from something like that is can I be like that? Resting, knowing that my mom's over here and she's going to take care of me no matter what happens. Last week, Ellie bumped her head at our place, and Ellie started crying like everything, and I was sitting on the couch beside Kristen, and Ellie was coming over there and had her eyes closed and was crying, and I reached down and picked her up and to comfort her, but I was the wrong person. As soon as Ellie knew it was me, she wanted to go over to Kristen, right? But isn't that how my dependence should be on God? One of the worst things that hurts dependence on God is self-dependence, isn't it? I can do this myself. You just leave me alone. I can do this myself. That's our human nature. We can have all kinds of advice and family and friends helping us, right, Marshall? And they want to help us, but we want to do it ourselves, don't we? That's our human nature. And part of that's okay, to be independent. But I think sometimes independence in Christianity is maybe one of our worst enemies. It's because we do not sense the need for help, even from God. I got this. And we're good. Sun's shining. Man, it's a blue sky. And the moon's out or whatever. But then the storm comes. I think it's so important for us to be practice up, right? To depend on God on a daily basis. And I don't know how we do that. I don't know how you all do that. Because I think we probably do it in different ways. But there must be a current and alive relationship going on in the relationship of Jesus Christ that we can't neglect. And I know that in summer times we get busy. But we can't neglect some type of a connection with God on a regular basis, because that's where I find my nurture, my growth. I can't do it myself. We know the verse in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's a neat verse, isn't it? But you know what? It's so important on a daily basis that I do that when troubles come, when trouble doesn't come, when other people are troubled, that I know who's going to be with me, whom I'm going to depend on. Oh, we depend on family. I think that's awesome. But I'll tell you what, we need a God. We need Jesus to help us. I can't do it myself. And I think that's one of the most important phrases that we'll ever say, is I cannot do this myself. God, I need you. I need you. I need you today more than yesterday. I need you today. I think that's That's our dependence on God. Maybe we should have fireworks for that. I don't know. Maybe the fireworks is what happens in our heart. Are we excited about coming to worship? You know, are we excited? Is it something that we just kind of do? And I'm talking to myself. Do I get excited about the things of God? Or are we more excited about making an extra whatever because we had some overtime? And we need to make money. I'm not trying to say that we don't. But I'll tell you something. If we can just constantly reflect on the fact that God is taking care of me. I think in here in America, I think in some ways, depending on God is maybe harder to do than if we would live in a place where we would be persecuted for being a Christian. I think sometimes I do. I forget about the needs in many places where people are still being murdered and killed because of their faith in Christ. And we have it tough sometimes when the air conditioner breaks down, right? I mean, that's hard. If you think about it, our day-to-day walk with God. There are, as I think of us trusting in God, I'd like to just quickly go over about 7 steps that talk about us depending on God. Number 1, don't depend on you. And that goes right with the Proverbs 3:5, where it says, don't lean on your own understanding. We play a part. Don't kid yourself. We play a part in it. But don't depend on you. Don't depend on me. You say that. Don't depend on me. Depend on God. And like I've shared, most of us have faced disappointments. Romans 11:33 says this, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Trusting God is not easy, but it's necessary. Number 2, cry out to God. And one of the blessings of church family is this, is right now we have people who are crying out to God on behalf of Naaman and Judy and whoever is sick. I know that. I know that we do. And I just say to you, God bless you for doing that. But you personally, cry out to God in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When we cry, when we bump our head and we cry and we want comfort, we need to go to God. We need to pray. We need to admit that his ways are higher than ours. And by doing that, we do that by crying out to God. God, I need you. And you know what? Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. But it's just the fact that we are directing our attention to an almighty God. Psalm 55:17 says this, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Sometimes we don't think God hears our voice, but he does. That's a verse for you to think about. He hears my voice. He does. He hears your voice. We have handed the keys of our lives to him, and we know that he's able to lead us. But in order for that to work, we have to, number 3, run from evil. There's a lot of wickedness in this world that would like to be our, can I call it our comfort food? Where we try to find comfort in the things of this world. We try to medicate ourselves with the wickedness of this world. But the result of that is a spiral that is down. It's definitely not up. So run from evil. In Proverbs 3:7 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Sometimes the only way to live the life God wants us to live is by separating ourselves from the bad influence that's dragging us down. And that works the best when we start pursuing something in its place. In other words, if you run from evil, make sure you fill that void with something that is right, that is good, that you're pursuing righteousness. Pursue righteousness. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Is it that easy? It sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not at all. It's something that is, it goes against our Adamic nature that we battle with. But it says in Proverbs 3:8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So our Creator will honor our commitment when we shun evil. When we pursue Him and we find life, abundant life, running from evil and pursuing God doesn't come naturally to most of us. Instead, it means we have to make a serious change. Number four, put God first in your life. And this could be the number one thing. Put God first in your life. It's not hard to put ourselves first, is it? Oh, poor me. I have such a rough life. I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed, right? Put God first in your life. And we tend to want to put other things first in our life. And I hesitate to name them because it can be riches, it can be whatever it is, pleasure. And those things can really distract us. Proverbs 3, 9 to 10 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. If we can trust God first with the first of our wealth, we truly are showing how much we depend on Him. Number five, check yourself by God's word. Let's be honest. We're probably not very good at evaluating ourselves, are we? We go to great lengths to excuse ourselves. You know, the reason I did this was because, well, you know, Gary back there, he misled me. And then we got into this together, and, you know, it just, from there, if he would have just stood up for right, don't we do that? We try to justify ourselves for our actions. But it's important for us to check ourselves by the Word of God, which abides forever. It remains the same. It's true. And Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's desperately wicked. If we're ever going to truly trust in God and flee evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. We have to find an objective measure that tells us the truth. And that truth comes from God and His Word. If there's anything that we can depend on today, it's the fact that the Word of God doesn't change. It stays the same. 2 + 2 = 2. It's the same. The answer is still the same in the Word of God. It abides forever. And that doesn't mean we're always going to like what we see. And Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke." Hide the Word of God in your heart. Psalm 119:11, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When we have Scripture planted in our hearts, God will often use that to deal with us. Isn't that true? It happens often. God brings a verse in this morning I think it was Merv's talking about the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Exodus 14:14. Remember that, Exodus 14:14. I was almost going to text it out yesterday, and I thought, no, I want to use it today maybe a little, so I'll wait. Exodus 14:14 says this. If you can visualize the children of Israel standing in front of the Dead Sea, sometimes we stand in front of the Dead Sea, and if you can visualize that, and this is the verse that says this, "The Lord shall fight for you." Remember that. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Somebody have that in a different version? Rebecca.
NIV, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
Yeah, I like that. You just be still. And I mean that in a good way. Sometimes we say, no, you be still. But God tells us to be still sometimes, doesn't he? It's like the Lord will fight for you. All you got to do is be still. And that sounds easy enough, doesn't it? But I tell you what, I need verses like that in my life. The Lord will fight for you. You believe that? Sometimes it doesn't feel like he's fighting for you. He's mighty slow sometimes, isn't he? But he is. He's fighting for us. He knows. And the timing, God's timing is amazing. It doesn't always seem amazing, but God's timing is amazing. And then number 6. Listen to the Holy Spirit. "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Be careful what the spirits you're listening to. The Bible says we should try the spirits. Make sure it lines with the scriptures. There's a lot of people that say, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You'll know when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And he will guide you. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. The Holy Spirit. We can't go through the Christian life without the Holy Spirit leading us. That's an awesome part of my Christian life, is the fact that the Holy Spirit is in my life and he's leading me. And I think it's important for you to realize that you are a Christian. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And I know I've said this before, but I think it's something that you and I need to remember. Sometimes we do things that are like, well, why did I do that? And I'm not talking about something that's wrong, but something that you think of maybe you go down a certain road or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, oh, there's somebody that needs help or whatever. The Holy Spirit has a way of doing stuff like that. And we shouldn't be surprised, but I think it's important for us to have an ear to listen. As we go through our day, this same Holy Spirit guides each one of us too. That means we don't have to go it alone or hope we're getting it right. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and protects us. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard it. That good deposit. And that is something that God has given us. It's a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit to us believers reminds us then that we can truly, number seven, rest in God's love. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get really tired, especially of even in emotionally, and you get tired of things like what we've experienced as a church, even in, with Naaman and then Judy and things like that. They make you tired. But there's a rest. There's a deep rest in knowing that God is, He's carrying you. He has you. When we face a difficult world each day, we can sometimes wonder if God even cares. Why do bad things happen? Where is God when I need Him? Solomon reminds us that God never takes a break or leaves us to fend for ourselves. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father, the son, as a father, the son He delights in. Knowing that sometimes, you know what? God disciplines us. To just bring us back. To remind us of God and His goodness and His greatness. Even in the midst of turmoil, God sticks with us and uses those challenges to shape us. And our perspective can change when we realize that God is for us, not against us. Well, I'm going to quit there. And I think if you think about the whole subject of depending on God, it's an ongoing subject. And I've only scratched a few things. And I just like to open it up. What are some God moments, some God sightings maybe that you've had? Maybe even this past week. Maybe there's some things that you'd just like to share with us. I think sometimes we gain when we share with each other. Does somebody want to share?